And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome into RBLR Bucks. I'm your guy, Musa, one of your co-hosts tonight. And man, it's always a beautiful day or a beautiful night to talk about some Tampa Bay football. The sun is shining over the bay. You know, the weather's warm. The vibes are good. And even though we're deep in the offseason, Bucks fans know there's no real offseason here when it comes to RBLR. So right now, things are heating up across the league. It's a new week, new headlines, new moves being made, you know, as the free agency frenzy is officially in full swing. So, you know, the front offices are cooking. The deals are flying in left and right. Every signing, rumor, every move could shape what this Bucks roster looks like into this next season. So, you know, the Bucks are cooking as well. So tonight, you know, we're going to sit back, kick it with you all, break it down, reflect on some of the latest news around Tampa, talk about maybe some, you know, potential moves, you know, look at, you know, how free agency is, you know, shaking up around the league and around the NFC South as well. But look, listeners, a friendly reminder, this show is always better when you are part of the conversation. So please do drop a comment below. Let us know what you think about the moves being made, what you want to see the Bucks do next, your questions, your concerns, your hot takes, all of it. All right, we're reading it. We're talking about it. We'd love to hear from y'all, seriously. So, you know, we got to show some love to the RBLR crew holding it across down, holding it down across the Tampa Bay, you know, covering the Rays, Lightning, Rowdies, Sun, and, of course, your beloved USF Bulls. So with that being said, it's time to bring in the rest of the squad. First up, a guy who always brings the insight, the breaks down, and, you know, brings a little bit of heat with it as well when it comes to talking about some Buccaneers football, Mr. Zach Blaine. How you doing tonight?
What's going on, brother? How are you doing, man?
So far, so good. Dude, I just, yeah, I mean, I think, as, you know, we've been discussing in the chat, and as I think us football fans can see, man, it's the free agency fun has begun. Well, I didn't realize that rhymed. Yeah, man.
I don't think it's not been very fun for Tampa, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got some mixed feelings, but I know our friend, our final puzzle piece of this iconic trio also has some words to say about what's been going on with our beloved Buccaneers or even just around the league. So you already know he's bringing in the takes, the energy, and, you know, ready to dive into this free agency madness. Mr. Carter Brantley, what's the good word, my friend?
Oh, man, not the Bucs pass rush room, I can tell you that much. No, I'm kidding. It's been a crazy past 48 hours, however long the legal tampering period has begun. I don't even remember what they call it, but yeah, it's been a lot of chaos. A lot of things have happened, and some of them good, some of them bad, some of them kind of in the middle. We'll start with the real harsh band-aid that we got to peel off. Mike Evans, no longer a Buck, in case you've been living under a rock. He is now a San Francisco 49er. He signed a 3-year deal with them, 2 years of it guaranteed. Oh, kind of sad, man. I don't know. I can't remember a time when Mike Evans wasn't a Buccaneer. I was kind of expecting him to finish out his career in Tampa Bay. Say what you will about his injury concerns, his age. Maybe he's not really worth the money San Francisco is paying him. That's probably all true. But it's still a bummer to see a guy like him go. I don't know. It's kind of tough. I have mixed feelings about it because on the one hand, you know, using that money on other positions is maybe better. But on the other hand, it's tough to see a guy that's a franchise legend walk out of the door. So, you know, we'll get into it. He claims it had nothing to do with the money, which is kind of a scathing indictment on the current state of affairs with the Bucks, which perhaps it's accurate. I don't know. You know, whether it's a comment on the constant offensive coordinator changes, whether it's Todd Bowles as head coach, whether it's the defensive struggles, whatever it may be, he sees San Francisco as a better chance of winning or having sort of a more illustrious end to his career. And I can't say I blame him because San Francisco is just in so much they're in a pretty good spot right now with the offensive game planning being done by Shanahan and all that. So anyways, that's sort of my two cents on it. I'm kind of bummed, but at the same time, I get it. Zach, I know you're probably more excited to see him go, but what were your thoughts on the Mike Evans?
No, I mean, I don't want to say excited because that sounds like I was against Mike Evans at any point, and definitely wasn't. I mean, I love Mike Evans, and I would have loved for him to stay a Buck, and I don't think that he was overpriced. I think he actually took a relatively good deal. We're going to go down the route of better chance at a Super Bowl. I don't think that that's necessarily true. I think it stems more from Todd Bowles over Kyle Shanahan over Todd Bowles, which also leads into Kyle Shanahan over Zach Robinson. And then I don't even know who their defensive coordinator is, but it's better than
still Sala, right?
Is it Sala? I thought he was a head coach now.
Crap. Am I? I am probably wrong about that. My bad.
Yeah, I thought Sala was a head coach of the Titans.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What am I thinking? He's the head coach of the Titans. I'm stupid.
Yeah, that's what I thought. but either way, it's a better defensive coordinator. I don't care if it's some guy fresh out of college. It's probably a better defensive coordinator than Todd Bowles. So I look at it more of on top of all that, also he is without a doubt no competition wide receiver one in San Francisco. While in Tampa, I do agree, still wide receiver one. I think that he shares targets with Chris Godwin, Jalen McMillan, Bucky Irving, maybe not so much, but now it's going to be a guy we talk about later in the show. Kate Otten, like there's so many mouths that need to be fed in Tampa, whereas in San Francisco, it's him and Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, and that's not even mentioning Emeka Egbuka here in Tampa, so and it's funny because he's joining Ricky Pearsall, who got drafted in 2024, and I think he's still only like 6 years older than Ricky Pearsall or something crazy. Yeah. Where it's like, man, Mike Evans has been in the league since 2014, and Ricky Pearsall is like, I think he might not even have a full season's worth of games played with all the injuries he's had. But regardless,
stabbed.
Right? Yeah. It's not necessarily even his fault, but you know, it's just. It's crazy. It's funny. We'll see how that all plays out. But Mr. Tariq, man, this is I'm not gonna lie. I know Zach, all the reasons that you mentioned him going to San Francisco totally makes sense. And like you said, he's definitely in the twilight of his career. So maybe not paying him this money might turn out to be a blessing. But it still hurt me. I don't know about you, Musa, but what were your thoughts on Evans going to San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, it just sucks. I know the whole money situation as well, and just, you know, I think we all wanted him, you know, to retire as a Buccaneer, but it just, I don't know. It is what it is. It's not, I'm not very mad at it. I'm not kind of like, you know, screw you, but I'm also just like, you know, like, damn, brother, you know, like, you know, I wish you just, you know, wish you had stayed, but like Zach said, you know, many mouths to feed on this team. And, you know, I think he was also just tired of all the constant changes as well. So I think going to San Francisco, I think it's really just going to be all about him and McCaffrey as well. Just going to be the McCaffrey, Mike Evans show for the most part. Yeah. So. Yeah, man, it just I feel like we see this at times, and you never know, man. Things could change. Maybe he's still in the league after all those years and says, "Hey, let me sign a one day with Tampa."
Yeah, I mean,
jumping in, you guys had mentioned saving the money, and that part's cool, but it's only cool if we use the damn money, like if. If he's just gone to be gone, like that makes it hurt even more. And I kind of prepared myself for Mike to be gone. We had talked about it back when the offseason started that I love Mike Evans. Like him retiring as a Buck would have been the ideal world. But at the same time, like we do have a relatively deep receiver room. Whether it's the best wide receiver room, clearly last year that proved to be false. But we have a pretty deep wide receiver room. So, like, I was banking on him being gone for a good addition on the opposite side of the ball, and that has not happened to this point.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how they distribute the money that they saved by not bringing in Evans. I think, you know, theoretically, if you just want to look at it from like a purely money saved situation, I think it's like 18 mil that they're saving by not bringing him back. Yeah, I mean, it depends on, like I said, it depends on your definition of what where they've distributed the money. But one place that they have kind of reinvested maybe the money that they're saving from Mike Evans, or maybe regardless, they brought in Alex Anzalone, an interior linebacker from the Detroit Lions. He also played for the Saints previously in his career. He's out of the University of Florida, widely considered to be one of the better coverage linebackers available in this free agency class. So I was pretty excited by this. I thought this was one of the stronger signings that they made. And we'll get into another one that maybe people aren't necessarily as excited about, but I'm also still a little bit excited about later. But starting with Anzalone, Mr. Tariq, man, what were your thoughts on this signing? How much does he upgrade this interior linebacker room?
It's a big upgrade, man. This is what you need. This is what I was saying, you know, not just only relying on the draft to address, you know, the big needs, one being the linebacker, you know, the linebacker room. Also want to give a shout out to our hey. Knight of the Wind 15, Gator legend. Yes, he is. That's a Gator right. legend.
Hey, he is a Gator.
And yeah, he's a Gator legend, man. And I think, yeah, he could be a legend for our Buccaneers next year. It's very nice to know that, yeah, he's good in the coverage game. Also, I know Zach had mentioned in our chat that, yeah, he's got an 88.8, you know, what was it?
Passer rating allowed.
Yeah, passer rating allowed.
Just one of the best in the league. It might be
the league. Yeah, so, yeah, this was definitely one of the better signings we've had so far this offseason. Just what you need. Eases a little tension, you know, as to what we want to do in the draft as well, perhaps.
Absolutely, and it's only a two-year deal. So I think it still very much leaves open the possibility that they still address this position again in the draft. They can still bring back Levante David if that's what they want to do. I think that would be interesting, at least, you know, having David retire a Buck, or maybe David could just retire and that would be fine. Either way, it still leaves open some other possibilities, whatever they may be. Zach, I know you're a big fan of them improving this linebacker room. So was this a good start for you, or are you still kind of annoyed that they didn't get Devin Lloyd or someone better?
Well, I mean, okay, you'd be silly to not want Devin Lloyd.
Of course, yeah.
Like, he's younger. He's more of a long-term fix. I love the Alex Anzalone signing. He's awesome. Like, I do think he's a great player, and I'm excited to see him play for Tampa. The upgrade from Levante to him, which sounds insane to say it, because, like, Levante is such a legend. Like, I legitimately think he's a Hall of Fame player, but the fall off has been so drastic with him. So to see the upgrade from David to Anzalone, like, I'm so excited, and I think it's a great fit. He does everything that Tampa needs. We cannot be done at the linebacker position. Even if Levante comes back, we cannot be done. Levante needs to be a rotational piece at best. So if we're running two inside linebackers, Alex being the starter, and then we go out and we're still running with Servassier or Nick Jackson. Like, don't get me wrong, I want to see Nick Jackson play. I think he could be really good. But if Servassier is inside linebacker too, we are just as screwed as we are last year, no matter how good Alex is, because now we're just going to target Servassier every play. So I love the signing. We can't be done at inside linebacker. So I almost guarantee we take some sort of inside linebacker in the draft if we don't.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But I was just saying more like, instead of going, you know, I mean, because I was saying, you know, before this Anzalone signing, I wouldn't be surprised if we got two linebackers in the draft. But
I still at this point wouldn't be shocked if you take two.
Yeah,
it's an interesting thought process. And what they could do instead of taking two linebackers, they could, I mean, there's no Nick Imanwari in this draft. I want to preface it with that. Like, I'm not saying that there is, and he is a one of one type of player that the Seahawks managed to draft last year But if they wanted to try to get like a big bodied safety type of thing and maybe have him try to be sort of a situational nickel guy or like a kind of Isaiah Simmons type. I know Isaiah Simmons is probably a nasty example because he was never any good, but you know, you could kind of move that safety into a pseudo linebacker position. I don't know. There's a lot of different things that they could do to try to add some versatility to this defense that they've kind of lacked a little bit, frankly. Everyone's kind of stout in where they play. It's kind of more fun and more interesting and more valuable to be able to have chess pieces that you can move around the board. And I think the Seattle Seahawks, you know, it's the copycat league. And whenever a team wins the Super Bowl, you know, a lot of teams try to emulate what they did with their roster. And maybe that's sort of a way the Bucs could try to do that, which obviously they aren't, doesn't mean they're going to be successful with it. You can try to do something, but it doesn't mean you're going to be any good at it. But I think that might be an avenue that they maybe explore instead of just drafting two linebackers. Maybe they draft a linebacker and a safety who kind of does a bunch of different things. So regardless, Alex Anzalone, really good start for this defense. I think it's a very good starting place. He was also a captain with the Detroit Lions, so there's an aspect of leadership that could step in as well. I know that's maybe not as exciting or sexy as the fact that he's actually really good in coverage, but still something to note. Something that isn't going to be very sexy or exciting to a lot of folks listening, Cade Otton brought back. They gave him $10 million a year. I forget the year length, but he's been brought back. They're tied at 3 years. There you go. He's going to be their tight end moving forward. I know he is a bit of a polarizing figure, which is funny for a guy that's like a tight end. And he's also like probably what their fourth or fifth best pass catching option. But they target him a lot for a guy that's not really super high on the totem pole on paper, but I digress. Cade Otton is back. Zach, you have the floor. I know you hate this signing. So go crazy. Go, you know, drop some expletives or whatever you want to do. Whatever.
No, I promised Eureka we wouldn't need the bleep button today. I want it because I hate this signing. Otton is not a needle mover. Like, we lost seven of our last eight games and we're running the same shit back. Like, it's annoying. Cade Otton, while his drop rate is not very high, very high, like he's got a solid drop rate in a good way. He seems to drop the ball when it matters the most, though. And I hate it. Like, I can't do any of those cartoony, like, bobble the ball four times right into a Rams defensive back's hands. Like, he doesn't impress me. He's not very athletic. He's a good blocker. He's not a bad player. He just is not, in my opinion, worth $10 million a year.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough thing because I try to fight the sort of the urge to focus on the wide receiver aspects of what a tight end does, because the blocking, while it's not maybe as, like you said, needle moving as being a good wide receiver, I do think it's important. And it's hard to really quantify. It's hard to put into words what he provides as a blocker. I don't know, man, it's tough. I get where you're coming from, and I'm not super excited by it either. If they would have let him walk and brought in a more dynamic type of pass catching option, I would have been fine. I would have been happy with that.
I wanted Charlie Kohler so bad.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds dumb, but he's such an athletic, like 6'6". Set behind Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, and just I think he's going to be an absolute stud. I believe he went to the Chargers. He's going to be a stud. David Njoku's still out there, which I know he's a little bit older, but a short-term deal for him would have been nice. Short-term deal for Dawson Knox would have been nice. Like, there's just so much that I would have preferred over Cade Otton.
Yeah, it's just tough, man, because he does seem to have a good – chemistry with Baker. I know that he had a lot of, like you said, he had those tough drops last year and he wasn't putting up eye popping numbers. But at the same time, there was a stretch, not last season, but the previous season, where he was like their top target and he wasn't awful. You know, like
he wasn't awful, but that was two seasons ago.
Sure. I get you. It wasn't. Yeah. I get you. But I don't know. I'm not necessarily gonna, like, you know, I'm not going to crash out over Cade Otton being brought back.
Touchdown last year.
I feel you, but
had one touchdown.
Yeah, I get you. You're gonna bring up some crazy name. I feel you. Like, I'm not. Yeah, for sure. It's and just
Evan Culp had one catch. One catch.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm not gonna use a I don't know. He's probably not as bad as most people say, but he's also not as good as $10 million would suggest. He's probably somewhere in the middle.
That's where my brain goes. Like, I'm not hating on the guy. I am, but I'm not.
Yeah, like, I was about to say, it sounds like
you're hating on the guy. I am, but I'm not. Like, again, it's more of an act on camera, but like, I was not happy with it. It's not something that like, oh, this team is doomed because we signed Cade Otton.
Right.
But like, also, we didn't improve signing Cade Otton. Like, he's been here for 4 years. He averages 500 yards a game or a season. Like, it's just, it's,
Well, but here's the thing. He's been playing with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans for the first half of that. And then they introduced Emeka Egbuka into the equation as well. So he's not supposed to be. If Cade Otton is getting 800 or 900 receiving yards this upcoming season with any team, that team's probably not very good. You know, like, that team's probably not doing real well.
Oh, thank you so much. You're very bad at whispering, Hazel.
That's okay. No, I do feel you. Like, he's not going to move. Like you said, he's not a needle mover. He's not making this offense any better. But he's at least not going to make he's at least not going to theoretically make them any worse, because he's a solid blocker and he's got a good floor. His ceiling is just a lot more limited than some of the potential other options that they could have brought in. So I don't know. We'll see. I'd be more excited about this if they had brought Evans back, because then Cade Otton's like your, I don't even know, fifth best wide receiver, fifth best pass catcher.
He stays the bottom of that list. Now it's like, oh God, Evans is out. Now we don't have that big body target. Now Cade Otton is that big body target.
Sure. Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. It's a brutal thing. But Mustafa Tariq, what are your thoughts on this? Maybe you're super excited that Cade Otton is back. Maybe you're buying the jersey. What are your thoughts on them re-signing Cade Otton?
You know, I've had times where I've, you know, really loved the kid, but you know, for the price and all that, and just to, you know, really reflect on Cade Otton, and you know, as much as we can talk about how he was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, we have to think about, you know, what he's done recently, aka this last season. Anyways, I'm just going on and on. Cade Otton is probably he could probably be the greatest TE2 ever. He's just not. He just doesn't have that TE1 dog in him. He doesn't. You know what I'm saying? And the Buccaneers, it's like a 5-bedroom room for someone who loves a chilly house. Except the one room that has a tight end in it, it's not hot, but it's also not chilly. It's got this old fan in there, so you're like, eh. Cade Otton is just meh. You know, he's average at best.
Yeah.
So
spot and, on, and, brother.
And this, this is just thinking about, yeah, just because, you know, what really kind of put the nail in the coffin was the price. I was just kind of like, okay, you know what? Like, that's cool with me if we're just going to get him for, like, you know, the minimum or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I guess there are reasons to be positive too. I'm not going to be like, you know, this guy sucks or this guy, it was a horrible signing because, you know, this, and this. But thank you, Mr. Knight. Appreciate lead analogy. Yeah, well, it was the first thing that came to my head. You know, you just, I don't hate the guy. I don't love the guy. You just, I don't know, man. You know, he's kind of like that one guy in your company. You're just like, you know, why did we hire this guy? And but you're also just like, you're also not walking around the office like, oh man, like, why does this guy have a job? You're just like,
yeah,
he just exists.
He's not the reason they're
doing. Yeah, so he's doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he is decent with the blocking and in the run game. But just imagine if we had a deadly tight end, or I don't know, man. Just, I would be more open just to trying out, you know, our other guys at this point now too. But it's all good. There's definitely bigger. There's definitely bigger problems.
Indeed,
bigger nothing against. Problems. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I'm. Yeah. It's just. He's just a mid-level tight end, and he got paid a little bit above that in terms of market, but. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I do think David Njoku and Isaiah Likely getting paid as much as they did. I don't know. We'll see, because they were, you know, David Njoku, high volume target on some awful Cleveland Browns teams. What does he do on a better team? I don't know. We'll see. I hope he lands somewhere good, because he is super talented, super athletic. So that would have been an interesting option for sure. I don't know. It's interesting. Kate Otten seems to do a lot of small things that might go underappreciated, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to put – it's hard to really describe what he does. But like you said, he's very meh, and I'm with that. Yeah, I feel you. I don't know. I was kind of going
back. Who knows? Maybe they're giving him, you know, more money, or saying, hey, dude, you know, now that, you know, Mike's gone, you know, kind of like the whole, you know, big body receiver.
Sure.
I don't think he's, you know, he should be our big body receiver. We should just, you know, you're better just getting Cephas Johnson, you know, at wide receiver. I think he was like 6'5" or something.
Oh, man. Yeah. Or maybe Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Yeah. But no, I just, I think I'll just leave it at that. Just very meh, whatever. But who knows? Maybe they're expecting more from him. They had a talk with him, and maybe that is the game plan. Maybe, you know, him and Baker are going to be, you know, cooking things up during the offseason, training together. Who knows? Maybe that is the vision now, that he's going to have a larger role.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. But regardless, if you're looking to maybe upgrade from what you view as a Kate Otten-like wardrobe, maybe you're looking at your options, head to shop.rblrsports.com to get some new merch. Because I know it's tough out there. The summer's coming around. You know, you're looking for some tank tops or some short sleeve shirts. We've got you covered. Everything Tampa Bay sports related. We'll get you there. So you promo code Cannons, CANNONS, for 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. So a little shameless plug there. And yeah, we're back to talking about some more free agent signings for the Bucks, because they had still even more. A'shaun Robinson just came in tonight, Wednesday night, 1 year, $10 million deal. I know some folks probably, if you see this and are like, what the heck, like A'shaun Robinson, like they don't need any more defensive linemen, but not that Logan Hall was very good, but they replaced Logan Hall, because Logan Hall is going to Houston, on that starting defensive line. So he's sort of, you know, you think Kancey, Vita Vea, and A'shaun Robinson is going to take up that third spot. He took 339 snaps at defensive right tackle last year. So he's not necessarily even a backup nose tackle, although he could maybe theoretically serve there in a pinch. But regardless, he was top 40 in most categories, which doesn't sound very good, but there are 130 interior defensive linemen in those categories. So that's actually like pretty good. For $10 million, I was actually like, the more I looked at it, the more I was like, oh, okay, I get where they're coming from. I do think he's an upgrade over Logan Hall. Like, I think that should be like the defensive line turned from like, eh, to like, hey, like this isn't bad. So this with Alex Anzalone, they're really upgrading that front seven. Zach, I know you were more looking for an edge rusher, but this was also still in need too, because I think A'shaun Robinson might be playing a bigger role than some folks realize for the 2026 season.
Yeah, this is another one of those, like, I don't hate the signing. I think the guy is important, and depth is super important, but depth is not more important than your starters.
But that's what I'm saying. He is going to be a starter. Like, he's going to be.
He's not going to be a starter where we need. Like, I don't even think he'll actually be a. He could be a starter. At $10 million a year, you better be a starter.
I think that's what they're looking at, because it's Kalijah Kancey, Vita Vea, and then A'shaun Robinson on the 3-4 alignment.
I don't know. I guess I didn't look at his pass rush numbers and like his percentage and everything.
They're not bad.
They're not bad, but they're probably not good. So if we're still having trouble getting to the quarterback again, as cool as it is to have him there, like, it's a good signing. I don't hate it. I actually think he's a good player, but I think I would have rather saved that money and put it towards an edge guy.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel you there.
That's what we need more. Like, yeah, a defensive lineman, we could draft one and I'd be happy with that.
Sure.
An edge guy, if we dropped an edge at 15, we're getting the fourth best edge guy in the draft.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. If this is their lone answer to their defensive line, then yeah, it's disappointing. But in a vacuum, like, I think bringing in A'shaun Robinson to start as your third quote unquote defensive tackle, it's pretty good. Like, he's going to be very serviceable He'll be like at least an average or if not above average starter at that position, which sounds bad, but it's actually pretty good, especially compared to what they were getting last year with Logan Hall, Elijah Roberts, Craig Gaines sometimes. Like that third defensive line spot was a bit rough last year at times. I think Ashawn Robinson provides a lot more stability. Like I know he's a little bit up there in age. I think he's over 30. But I think it'll surprise some people that, oh, like this actually makes a lot more sense than I think it did at first glance. But Mustafa Tariq, what are your thoughts on the Bucs potentially trying to improve their defensive line?
Yeah, man, I think it's a solid move. He's a solid veteran. You know, I just feel like, you know, it's, you know, the definitely nice to see, you know, us beefing up the D line. And I think, you know, he is going to be better with, or our run defense should be, better. You know, my only kind of question is, you know, how do y'all feel about the money? And, you know, kind of going off of what Zach's been saying, you know, I'm fine with this, you know, especially with the kind of, hey, Logan Hall out, you know, Ashawn Robinson in. So in that case, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm cool with it. You know, I feel optimistic in that way. But, if this is the only move we do on the D-line, then, yeah, it's going to be very disappointing.
For
the
sure.
Best way to put it, you know, right now is, you know, it's like putting a Band-Aid over like a sacral wound. You know what I'm saying? yeah, man, we got a lot more work to do. So, hey, this is cool. This is nice. I mean, from what I was also seeing, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he only had 2.5 sacks.
He wasn't a super high.
He was like in the high 60s too. So
yeah,
he's a role player, but man, we need a game changer. I think we all know that. We've all been saying it. I know Zach's, you know, looking for that nasty edge rusher. Hell, we're all looking for it too. So
right.
Ashawn Robinson has only had one good year. Everything else has been all right.
Yeah, and I think for $10 million and at the spot that they're putting him at, I think that's good enough. Like, I think the way I was trying to look at it was, you know, with Anzalone, that's an immediate upgrade at a position where they had struggles last year. Right. Ashawn Robinson is going to also be an immediate upgrade over a position that struggled last year. Like Logan Hall was not very. I mean, we were talking about it all last year how bad Logan Hall is. You know, he's not great. And Elijah Roberts is kind of fun, but he probably shouldn't, like, you're dependent on a fifth or a day three pick to be your starting into one of your starting interior defensive linemen in your base defense. That's not great. You know, like that's probably not a good sign. So I do think Ashawn Robinson provides some stability, especially because Kalijah Kansi, as good as he is, as talented as he is, he's freaking hurt all the time, you know? So if Ashawn Robinson needs to step up and sort of be that second defensive tackle alongside Vita Vea, I think he serves that role very well as well. So
per PFF, Logan Hall actually graded higher than Ashawn Robinson last year.
Oh, really? Oh, well, shows you what I know.
Very close. 65.5 for Ashawn, 66.8 for Logan Hall.
Oh, well, you know. Maybe it won't be a massive upgrade. Maybe I'm just talking out of my butt. But I don't know. I'm trying to be optimistic because – I get it. It's a weird signing, but I don't know. He provides a veteran presence to the defensive line that they haven't really had other than Vita Vea. I'm trying to think of him like in terms of Ndamukong Suh back in the day. Although obviously he's not Ndamukong Suh, so I don't know. I'm trying to do my best here to stay positive because we're gonna kind of finish on a negative note because they haven't addressed the pass rush and we'll talk about that quite a bit and I want to bring up their next big signing, which was Kenneth Gainwell. Which the way that y'all feel, the way that I'm sure many others feel about Ashawn Robinson is the way that I feel about Kenneth Gainwell. Like you're giving RB2 $7 million, which is like, I don't know. I get it, but I also was a little bit frustrated because it seemed like a lot of money to give a guy who might be a bit redundant. Like he's a good pass catcher, but so is Bucky Irving. Like Bucky Irving's a pretty good pass catcher. They also brought back Sean Tucker. So that kind of solidifies their running back room. And man, it's just kind of, it's fine. You know, it's not something that I'm super excited about with Bucky and his injury concerns and whatnot. If Bucky's healthy, then that's great. And hopefully Kenneth Gainwell plays that more supportive role. But I don't know. I didn't view this as like it is an upgrade over Rashad White, hopefully between the tackles, but and potentially as a pass catcher as well. But I don't know. Zach, please please give us something positive about Kenneth Gainwell, because I know you're a bigger fan of him than I am.
I'm a huge fan of this signing. At the time, we didn't have Sean Tucker, so I got to lead with that. Right. At the time of the signing, we did not have Sean Tucker. I was super high on this. I know a lot of people are like $7 million too high. But I do think that he is a better runner than Rashad White. And I think he had 73 receptions out of the backfield last year. Granted, Aaron Rodgers was thrown out of the backfield a lot, but
yeah.
You're a running back with 73 catches. Like, that's impressive. That's Christian McCaffrey numbers as far as receptions. Like, he was playing one of the best receiving backs in the NFL last year. So I think that it fills the void left with Rashad White for the receiving back. And then I do think he is a significantly better runner between the tackles than Rashad White is, though. So if it comes to Bucky missing time or needing a break, I think this is a better 1-2 punch than Rashad White and Bucky Irving. Now, bring in Sean Tucker, and that kind of gets me a little lost in the sauce because I have, like, mixed emotions. I want to see Sean Tucker run the ball more, but we just paid Kenneth Gainwell $7 million a year, so he's going to be running back too. So it's kind of like we're filling all these spots, and it's cool because we needed a backup running back. But now we've signed two backup running backs, a backup corner, or a backup quarterback, and a backup defensive lineman, maybe a starter, but I'm just going to call him a backup for reasonings of my argument. But he is – we've brought all these people in and haven't addressed the number one issue. So, like, at this point, why are we putting money into backups if we can't bring in starters? Like, you should address backups in the draft, not – in the starter room, I guess, is my issue.
Yeah, and I think that's where I was coming from, especially with the now the two backup running backs are making a combined like $10+ million.
Yes.
You know?
Which I love it. I'm a fan of running backs. Like, I've always
sure.
You and I have always had this disagreement on running backs getting paid. Like, I'm all for it. And again, I love the pick, but I would have rather a running back three been I wouldn't have mind Sean Tucker as running back two if he was just running back two. And then we draft a guy in the fifth to seventh round. Like, yeah, that's cool.
That's basically my frustration.
At the time when we signed Kenneth Gainwell, I didn't expect Sean Tucker back.
Yeah.
I know there have been some reports. I think Greg Allman had posted something about it not expecting Sean Tucker back. And at first when I saw that, I was like, oh, my heart's kind of broken because I love Sean Tucker. Like, he's a fun right. underdog story, but then we got him back, and then my heart was still broken because I'm like, wait a second, now we're paying running back two and running back three combined $10 million, and
yeah. We
still don't have a starting edge. Like, we're going into this season right now with Anthony Nelson as our starting edge guy.
Yeah, and that's where my frustration stems for that $7 million could be going towards a potential edge rusher. And instead it's going towards Kenneth Gainwell, who without Sean Tucker, cool, fine, I guess, you know, whatever. Like, I'm still a little miffed because I would rather just have Sean Tucker for $3 million and Kenneth Gainwell for $7 million, but I get it. But now that Sean Tucker's back, yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know. $3 million is a lot of money for a third running back when you already have a lot of money invested in RB2 and theoretically one of the better RB1s in the NFL. So,
yeah.
That was sort of my frustrations with it, especially now that Sean Tucker is back. It's not a lot of money for Sean Tucker, but combined with Kenneth Gainwell, it's kind of a lot of money for a running back room in total, especially exactly. especially when they've got to pay Bucky eventually, you know, not this season. I forget, maybe not even next, but, like, you know, they're going to have to pay him eventually. So,
well, no, it should be, this will be year three. So he'll have two more seasons. Year three and year four, because he was a fourth round pick, so that's only 4 years.
Okay.
So theoretically, he's probably extension eligible
this offseason
year or next year.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. I don't know. The way you feel about the Kate Otten signing is probably more like how I feel about Kenneth Gainwell. It's not a comment on Kenneth Gainwell as a player. Like, he's a very good running back too. In fact, if he's your running back too, you're probably in relatively good shape. But unfortunately, the rest of the roster there are just such glaring holes, like pass rusher. We're going to talk about that until they do something about it. And even after they do something, it probably won't be enough. So, you know, we'll see. But we saw Tariq. Maybe you're a little bit more down the middle. Maybe you're fine with the Kenneth Gainwell signing. What are your thoughts on the Bucs running back room after Sean Tucker returns and going and getting Kenneth Gainwell?
Yeah, just the money aspect of it is a little, like, you know, kind of a count of a downer just because of how much we're spending just for backups, as y'all have been saying. But hey, I do like it compared to what we had before, aka Rashad White. You know, he is like Rashad White 2.0, but with more burst. And I think he was like fifth in receiving yards.
Yeah, he was great in the running back.
So, you know, I think for Baker, you know, having a guy who can, you know, turn a check down into like a 20-yard gain, that's pretty nice to know. Yeah. But yeah, the fat contract is, you know, kind of a question mark, especially with Sean Tucker now in the equation. So, you know, there's always maybe a discussion, perhaps, you know, you could get Sean Tucker, just Sean Tucker, or just one guy at the fraction of, you know, the cost of what, you know, we spent on two of them.
Yeah.
But it's all, I don't want to say it's all good. It's a step forward, you know, replacement for replacement. I think we're just, you know, subbing out, you know, whoever we can. The starter we subbed out was a good signing with Anzalone, you know. So I think, I don't know, man. We'll see what else is, you know, upcoming. But my only thing is, if this is just going to come down to how much money we have left based on how much we've been spending on these backups, then
right.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's my only fear. And I feel like,
because
a very reasonable fear. The Glazers are cheap.
Right. Yeah. They're one of the worst ranked ownerships groups in the NFL for a reason. And so if you're going to take the money that you're given, which is limited, and the resources that are limited, and devote them to these certain positions, it's frustrating. So we'll see. There are still some pass rushers out there that maybe the Bucs could bring in. Zach, are there any guys that come to your head for? I know Bosa is still out there. I don't know about y'all, Zach. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I saw that Bradley Chubb deal, and I was like, wow. No, thank you.
I wouldn't want the Bradley Chubb deal.
Yeah, that's so much money.
It's better than what we have. So
of course.
Right. There is no one, in my opinion, that they can bring in right now that improves this team from last season. Honestly, unless you're trading for Max Crosby. If you're not going to trade for Max Crosby, which my guess is the Raiders keep him. They kind of trying to work something out. They have to get under cap. They have to get cap complacent. But I think that he ends up staying with the Raiders this season until he's fully healthy. But the Ravens are a dirty ass team, man. They are sketchy, and it took me a minute to realize it, but it's just, I cannot stand that front office almost as much as I hate our front office. But Max Crosby is the only way you win this offseason as Tampa's front office is to go out and trade for Max Crosby. There is no other outcome outside of this is a failed offseason if you do not bring in Max Crosby.
Wow. All right. Well, that's a high bar. I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed.
Damn. I am. Yeah. I don't expect it to happen. I fully am on board that this is a failed offseason. You lose your a legend of the franchise.
Potentially two with Levante David.
I was just going to say potentially two. You don't address the biggest need you have, knowing that 3 weeks ago at the combine, you openly said that was your biggest need. Openly said, we got to get better on the edge. So then you sign two backup running backs, a backup quarterback, a D lineman, and a linebacker, which we need a linebacker. I'm not hating on the signings, but like, don't come out and bullshit us that these are your biggest needs and then you refuse to address them. Oh, we're going to go in the draft. Yeah, because Jason Light's history of drafting edge rushers is so great. Tampa is so good at developing a good edge rusher. And it's just, it's, sorry, this is where I get pissed off because, like, Jason Light is just, I don't like him as a GM. I think he's trash.
Harsh words.
I stand by him 100%.
Well, you know, we'll see if they're able to maybe counteract that feeling. It's not an uncommon feeling. A lot of Bucks fans feel that way. They're pretty upset with the state of affairs, and it's hard to blame them. You know, all the reasons that you laid out, perfectly valid. You know, they're harsh, but they're not necessarily false. There's a lot of truth in it. I'm hoping that maybe, you know, maybe they do something fun. Maybe they, I don't know if I'm going to go as far as to say that if they don't bring in Max Crosby, like if they brought in Joey Bosa or, oh shoot, who are the other edge rushers still out there?
None.
What's that?
None.
Oh, well, none. Muhammad. I mean, it's still early. You know, they could still bring in another potential pass rusher. And who knows, maybe they make a big swing in the draft. Like maybe Reuben Bain falls in their lap or something. There are still pathways, even if they don't trade for Max Crosby, in my mind, that they could still have this be at least a decent offseason. But I do feel your pain. Like, I do understand that they haven't been able to make a big enough difference to where this defense is in a good spot. And I've been saying this for the whole offseason, really, that this team isn't necessarily a Super Bowl contender. They're not, you know, they're not really close to being competitive in that way. And not getting a pass rusher would make that even more true.
See, I agree with you, but I disagree with you. One player, not necessarily, but you bring in Max Crosby. He's getting to the quarterback at a quicker rate, which is going to improve the play of the corners because they're not going to have to be in coverage for 47 seconds. You've already brought in a better coverage linebacker, so we're already improved there. This offense, while we lost Mike Evans, I think in a roundabout way with bringing in Kenneth Gainwell over Rashad White, because we like to run a two-backfield tandem, I think that this team has what it takes if we can get a good defensive game plan together. But the lack of effort in – I heard they went after Trey Hendrickson, which I wouldn't have wanted to give him a four-year deal, so I'm not mad that we didn't get him. But, like, that was your only effort to get an edge guy was Trey Hendrickson. Like, you're not really trying – you knew you were outbid if you're trying to give a one- or two-year deal. Like, I'm so – it's annoying when I hear people be like, ah, this team sucks. Like, this team is still a good team. Our defense sucks. And really just our front seven suck. We improved half of that. Now we just need to improve the edge, which we've needed to improve for four damn years.
Yeah. Well, I have a bad feeling that perhaps they're thinking, well, maybe fifth time's a charm in the draft.
They are.
I was pulling it up right now, who the free agents left. And yeah, Zach, you're right, dude. I was really trying to see, you know, is there really anyone? And
not,
dude, unfortunately there really isn't.
Once Chaseon went off the board,
it was
game over.
I don't know. The
Bosa signing would be fun, but even that, it's still kind of questionable. I don't know, man. It's tough. It's definitely not fun. You know, it's not a great spot to be in because, yeah, it's tough, man. They're just in a tough spot, really, and it's kind of their own doing, like a lot of draft day mistakes and a lot and whatnot. So,
top five GM though, baby.
Well, you know, we'll see if they're able to put something together to maybe surprise us and maybe turn this offseason around. And it's a shame because outside of this, I do think that the rest of these moves have at least been like okay. But this lack of a move does weigh it down quite a bit. So, yeah, we'll have to wait because it's still early. There's still time. Maybe they surprise us and they do trade for Max Crosby. I don't know. I would kind of doubt it, but it could happen.
There is exactly 0% chance they trade for Max Crosby.
I'm so, with you. Yeah.
That's the annoying part is we could get it done. If he wasn't holding on to those damn draft picks like they were something important, we'd be good. Max Crosby's 28. Yeah, he's coming off a knee injury, but he's 28. Like, Aiden Hutchinson just ripped his whole leg apart, and he's good. Like,
yeah,
it's
If it is, and we'll see if there's a reduced price now that the Raiders are sort of backed into this corner. But it's unfortunate because it's really all Baltimore's doing, and it's shameful. It's slimy. It's disgraceful. And the Ravens have just shown time after time that they will just do whatever slimy thing they deem necessary to get better. And the karma's come to get them, because they have struggled when they do get to the playoffs, they have struggled when they've gotten there. And so I'm sure there's a little bit of karmic justice there, but regardless, the Raiders sort of being held hostage, I guess might be a good way of putting it. Like they did anticipate Max Crosby's contract coming off the books. And so now it makes it a little bit tighter with his contract.
Like a bunch of good players.
Yeah. And rightfully so. Like, they're trying to improve and they're trying to build around Mendoza after they draft him first overall. It's been a fun offseason for them. And yet now it kind of stinks, but maybe they try to view it as, well, if we can still get a first round pick, and the Bucks have a decent one, like 15 overall is not nothing. So maybe the Bucks could get away with only giving up one first round pick as opposed to two, like the Ravens did. And that would actually be a pretty massive win. But like Zach said, and like I said earlier, it's unlikely. 0% chance, that seems about right. So I don't know. It's kind of sad, but we'll see. At least Jamel Dean's gone. He's with the Steelers, so you don't have to.
Yeah. Did we address any corners this offseason yet? Nope.
Yeah, that's the other thing. So, yeah, kind of a downer of an episode. I'm sorry to the listeners if they were.
It's all good, though. We got Jake Browning.
That's right. Jake Browning. Face the franchise, Jake Browning. So if you're looking to stick around and hear more about how much we love Jake Browning and how much more Zach loves Kate Otten and how excited we are about Anthony Nelson potentially being the second starting pass rusher, then hit that like and subscribe button on your way out. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thank you to my wonderful co-host for making my job much easier. And to our super producer, Eureka Wheeler, for letting us put on this shenanigans, if you will. And give us a follow at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Bucks. We'd really appreciate it. But we'll see y'all next week. Regardless of whether the Bucks trade for Max Crosby or not, we will be here to talk about it and break it down. So we'll see y'all next week. Until then, and as always,
go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.